Do you have an intro that you wanted to try?
Yeah, hey, Michael.
Yeah?
I don't know if you want to do this, but, remember when we saw the Hannah Montana movie?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we were on vacation, and I proved that I knew the whole song called The Hoedown Throwdown?
Yep.
You don't have to get up or anything, but if I just kind of told you the lyrics to The Hoedown Throwdown, do you think you could, do all the dances to it?
No, absolutely not. Because I don't remember that movie. Here's the one thing I remember about the Hannah Montana movie. I don't know if we referenced this before. Is that somehow she convinces an entire room full of people at a concert to not tell her secret in the age of social media. That's the only thing I remember about that movie.
Weird. I don't remember that about the movie.
That's the whole point.
I just remember every lyric to every song in the movie. Exclusively.
Was it just because you had a crush on Hannah Montana? Because, like, I didn't have that
factor. I don't remember
factor.
Having a crush on Hannah Montana is the thing.
I didn't have that factor going for me. That's why I know, like, Hilary Duff songs. That's not why. Yeah.
Well, no, you know Hilary Duff songs because they're all...
Because they're all bangers.
They all slap, dude. Every Hilary Duff song.
Every song she's ever created was a chart topper in
to
my
heart.
To
the beat of my... To the... Dude, yeah, every song she made was to the beat of my heart. What is... Hey, Michael, this is a fun question.
What are you doing?
I do this thing where I never get comfortable till we start recording, because I think it's better if people just watch me resituate a few times. Popping and locking, what does that mean and look like?
Do you not actually know?
I really don't know.
It's the break dancing thing, like where they're like doing the robot moves. That's the popping and locking.
So you pop, but then you lock.
Yeah, I obviously did a very good job of demonstrating it. So I don't know why you're pretending that you still don't understand the freaking concept.
So pop it, lock it, and then hey, Michael, if somebody
polka dot it.
Yeah, polka dot it. What do you think the dance move polka dot it would look like?
Well, I don't know, but isn't the next line countrify and hip hop it?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, we're not doing this bit.
And then you say, but here's the thing: you put your hawk in the sky. And move side to the side, jump to the left, and stick it glide.
Is putting your hawk in the sky, is it like, do they do like the Napoleon Dynamite butterfly?
I think they tried to cross their arms weird in some way to like make it look like they, I'm assuming, had a mohawk.
No.
But I don't know.
It's not just like this, put your hawk in the sky. Or is this like a chicken bill? What's it? What's the thing on the top of a chicken's head?
Crown.
Oh yeah, dude.
Don't they call it a crown?
Yeah, they do.
Because I think out of every animal that needs like some sort of kingship, it'd be a chicken. Well, can you name a more noble creature?
a more noble creature than the rooster?
Yeah,
the American rooster. I mean, they're the backbone of America. Like we treat eagles like they are. For one, do you know that eagles don't make the eagle sound?
Oh yeah,
eagles don't make the eagle sound. We treat them like they're endangered. For one, so that's not very American. We mass produce everything. A rooster really is kind of the backbone of American society. Plus, they make chicken.
What is a rooster but an eagle's younger cousin?
Younger? Why did you why do you assume that eagles are younger than roosters?
Roosters are younger than eagles.
Okay.
Well, Michael, we didn't have roosters, so... when the Mayflower came over to declare independence for America...
Did we bring chickens over?
No. We brought eagles over and found chickens here.
So they were... why they're more...
Yeah, so that's why they're younger. Well, I mean, they're at least younger to us because we didn't know about them.
Also, the chickens make the eggs.
Yeah.
And we know that eggs are the best in American. Also, an egg...
Eggs in other countries suck.
Egg, number one most liked thing on Instagram. Was the egg.
Oh, gosh, dang it.
Remember that?
Did you like it?
No.
You didn't?
No, dude. I'm not part of some sheep culture.
You were listening to Billy Joel when he was talking to you, dude. He was talking to you.
I don't think Billy Joel has put out music in my lifetime. And if he did, it didn't matter.
I meant Billy Joe. Did I say Billy Joel?
Yeah.
Dang it.
You mean Billy Joe Armstrong? Yeah. Like the
yeah, he was when he was telling you not to be a sheep. You were listening.
Welcome.
You were like, I don't want to be an American idiot.
I heard that song and it was just like an inspirational thing. Like, dude, he's right. We are idiots.
Have you ever heard somebody hit the inflections for American Idiot so awkwardly as I did?
No, you did. You made it sound like it was a
not a song. Like it was just a statement.
Like, I don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want to be some. I don't know the real words, the lyrics, but it could be offensive. I don't know. Welcome to life.
Be a nation controlled by the media.
Welcome to life. Well, too late. Welcome to Life's What You Rate It, the seminal flagship podcast of the Whack Matters Network, where me, Michael, and my brother
Mark
make a show where we rate everything in the country on a scale. No, nay, the world. No, not the world.
Universe.
The universe and the multiverse on a scale from 1 to 10.
Yeah, Steven Universe can kiss my grits, dude. We're the real Universal podcast.
One episode at a time. We are in one of these episodes now, and so are you, and we're gonna it's been a minute.
In case you didn't know, we're here too.
We are in this episode. We are in it. And you're already in it too. And we are here to do you a favor, and I don't remember where I was going with that sentence. Oh, I wanted to rate Roosters.
10.
As we've discussed, 10. We've already given our reasons for that. We've been gone for like half a second. That's what I wanted to say. And you may not have noticed, but I'm sure you did. I'm sure you wept bitter tears when we were on vacation.
I assumed that when we leave YouTube shut down, much like when Shane Dawson doesn't make something for a hot second, you know, like YouTube stops working and shuts down only comes back for Shane's new thing.
We are a lot like Shane Dawson. We get 50 million views every time we drop a documentary.
Except we're gayer.
Every time. Well, he's bi.
Dang it.
Every time you drop a documentary.
That means he has magic powers.
I'm 50% of Shane Dawson's sexuality. and yeah, we here do comedy here and also serious here.
It's weird. More often than you would think, serious.
Yeah. We try to avoid that though. And I wanted to talk to you today about our vacation a little bit, because there were some fun things that happened and we were going to record a vlog and you started to. We're going to post that.
I started to.
We're going to post the vlog that you recorded that's 2 minutes long and it entirely takes place before the trip.
Yeah.
Two airports.
Well, yeah. So here's what happened with that was, I realized that the way that our dynamic works is you do news and things on our channel, and I do dumb jokes. And I realized one of two things. One, didn't really vlog while we were out there. And two, I did 2 days of vlogging, the trip out there, and the trip to the beach. And I did this funny mistake where I made zero jokes in the trip to the beach or gave zero context to it.
Last time we posted a vlog too, we had lots of people recording at the same time, so we had tons of footage, and I recorded essentially nothing. For some reason I decided to actually just go full vacation mode on my vacation and tried to think about Whack Matters as little as humanly possible.
I thought about it all the time, and I just thought, because I'm more committed than Michael, I woke up every morning and was like, I'm a worthless piece of trash for not making content.
Well,
today,
if you remember the last episode, we talked about making summer great again, and I was trying to do my part. And I made summer great again for a whole vacation, because the vacation was good.
I played so much Overwatch on this vacation, and it was good.
Did you?
Yeah, we played a lot of Overwatch.
I didn't. But what I did see for the first time in my entire life is I saw a kid punch out a screen window. The whole screen! Evidently, this has been a problem, but my nephew did this really good gag where he looked into the kitchen to see if anyone was looking. And he didn't think anyone was, but I was. And he went, huh, and he punched, and he did not break through the screen. He punched out the entire screen window in one swift punch. And I had, we'll say, zero expectations for that happening. And it made me laugh so hard I almost passed out.
Did Did you get the whole, like, look? See, I have a bad habit of kids will do a bad thing, and I'll laugh at it.
Oh, I left.
And then the parents usually get mad at me because I'm laughing at the bad thing.
The parent was mad, and I left because I was laughing so hard. I never... So, like, part of comedy, if we want to dig into, like, comedic theories, like, part of comedy is things being completely unexpected, or as you described in your video, a verbal juke. It was not a verbal juke. It was the slapstick version of a verbal juke. Dude, a physical juke.
Slapstick is one of the funniest types of jokes,
so,
period.
So when I turn and I look into the dining room and this kid climbs up to the window, he's just, like, looking out the window like a normal kid, and just goes, boom, and punches the screen window out. I had no basis for assuming that might happen.
None of you kids have punched out a screen window
My children before? Punch windows. They've punched a hole in the screen. Like, if he would have punched a hole in the screen, I don't think I would have laughed as hard. But when he punched it and the whole screen just flew off, I laughed so hard. It was the funniest thing I saw. Oh, man, it was good. And that was my vacation. We went to the beach, too.
One of the cool things we did on our vacation was we played Overwatch till very late, and then we made ramen in that pot.
Oh, word.
And while we were doing that, the cat Dinah walked across the roof and jumped down directly next to us, mm-hmm. and all three of us got so spooked we about beat the crap out of a cat. And that was very good.
I was going to ask you a question, and I totally blanked again.
Was it if I had something to write this episode?
Oh, no, we were going to talk about something in this episode, and by we, I mean, I just thought about this. While we were, we went to a beach called Pismo Beach, and we ate some crickets. Nope.
Yeah.
Were they crickets or were they grasshoppers?
Crickets.
They were crickets. We ate crickets. How was the experience for you? We never really discussed it a lot.
I would say a 2 out of 10. It wasn't a 1, because here's the thing. Taste, not bad.
The taste was fine.
Taste was not bad. Texture, it was very bad.
It was very bad. And if you had told me that it wasn't a cricket, and I hadn't seen it be a cricket when I ate it, it still would have been bad. Yeah, it wasn't good.
It wasn't like one of those people, but, like, oh, like, you're just grossed out by a cricket. It's like, I mean, I think the cricket probably made it a little bit worse.
Knowing it was a cricket did make it worse.
Yes, however, it would still be a 2.
Yes, because it was so dry and, like, stuck. It was very hard to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And we both swallowed it.
You instantly put it in your mouth, and all of the moisture got instantly sucked up, and you were like, oh, boy.
This is going to be an experience. And we got the cricket down, but it wasn't good.
It was not good. John ate so many of them, I don't know how he did that.
He had a hard time because he ate the rest. After he gave everybody that wanted one, he ate the rest of the box in one fell mouthful.
Yeah, it was the closest I've been to not getting something down since I had the moldy cheese Bean-Boozled bean.
Yeah, we should do a video where we just play Bean-Boozled. But yeah, I give the cricket a 2. I think that's fair.
I just about said that we should do that to end a show every time. And then I go, actually, I look forward to recording. Don't do that. I would not look forward to recording our podcast anymore.
I saw a seal in the ocean when we were swimming in it.
The ocean was dope.
Well, it was 54 degrees.
Whatever we saw in that swell, though, I did see that. We just don't know what it was.
That was a dinosaur.
Probably.
A small one, though.
They do make baby dinosaurs
They make little dinosaurs as well as big dinosaurs. We swam in the ocean. That was cool.
Literally cool.
Very cool. 54 degrees. 54 degrees cool.
It was fun. I liked it.
And vacation was very good. And the thing about vacation is I didn't sleep on vacation, essentially.
Yeah, I didn't sleep a whole ton. I took a nap and it felt good. But, like, besides that, I guess the last few nights I would fall asleep on the couch while you and Blake played Tetris, usually.
I also maybe would like to discuss the fact that traveling with children in an airplane full of people is a 1 out of 10 for everyone involved. The people with us.
The kids.
The kids and me.
Yeah.
All of us give it a 1 out of 10. It's maybe the worst experience.
Molly seemed pretty chill on all of them.
Yeah, well, no. You missed one of them where she was not chill. The one we took by herself.
Just super was. She was the inverse of chill.
So, basically, I hyped her up a ton because her ticket was, as far as we could tell, she was going to be sitting next to me. So, I hyped her up a ton that she was going to be, like, my travel buddy and I was going to hang with her and do stuff with her the whole flight. And then she was on the other side of the aisle. with Amanda and Charlie. So it was Amanda, Charlie, and Molly all by themselves on the other side. So I would like try to help or whatever. And we literally had, and I use this term, a flight attendant Nazi who would like essentially not let me help with my own children on the plane.
Well, I don't know why you would. She also was just super sexy. She's like, no, Amanda can handle it.
Like, yeah, she's just like, this is the woman's job. Clearly she has two children, she should be able to handle them. So like when like my son was freaking out, I tried to like help and she freaked out because he was not supposed to be on my side of the plane. And like my daughter was trying to do something, I was reaching across, she's like, you need to keep the aisle clear. And I'm like, I've like never been so close to just verbally clapping back at someone very aggressively.
Well, yeah, I think it's funny that I think me and you both have like the same thing of like, I honestly think I could go to like a fast food restaurant and I could order my food and then they take my money, don't make my food, and slap me in the face, and I don't think I would yell at them. I think I would just leave.
Yeah.
Like that's the level of quality that I'm willing to put up with at like anything is ridiculously low. To like, it means something. You're like, I almost talked back to a person.
It was just, I think it was the fact that one, I was tired, and two, I knew that if like my children were not cool, the whole plane for every passenger is terrible. So like, let me like break a rule and be cool with my kid for a sec so they like are chill, and then we'll go back to being rule followers for a second.
We go back to Google rule boys if you just let me make my son not be yelling as loud as he can right now.
Yeah, so we'll give that a 1 out of 10. And then I'll get off of that angry horse.
Well, we'll also give the passenger behind you on the second flight who, when your son screamed for like, he didn't. It was a
solid.
Ten,
no, it was a solid 10 minutes essentially, dude.
It was a 10 minute thing, but like it would die down. Like he had to take breath
sometimes.
But like your son essentially screamed for 10 minutes before the flight took off.
I give that guy a 10 because he told me that if I didn't make my kid shut up, that the flight was gonna suck, and I didn't realize that. Like, he essentially is the hero of the situation.
Yeah, if I
tweeted that even.
I assumed if I let Charlie scream the whole time, everybody would love it. And
like,
they would love
the
sound.
He was literally chewing up food and spitting it in my face, and I didn't realize that was a bad time until the guy told me that.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, no, he was a little colorful language, but he essentially was like, hey, bud, how about you, if you don't let your kid spit food in your face and yell right directly square in your ear, like, if you don't let him, like, hold your ear hole open and yell as loud as you can into it, you would like your life more at the moment in time. And you were like, oh, frick, dude, thanks.
He was essentially the expletive-filled version of, pardon me, sir, if you do not do whatever you need to do to allow your child to get a calm, restful sleep on this flight, it might be slightly uncomfortable for the rest of the passengers, including myself. And I said, thank you. I hadn't realized. I'll try my best.
And at that point, you quit pinching Charlie to make him scream.
Yeah, I stopped punching him in the face, and then we were good.
Pop, pop, pop. Hey, Michael, I want to talk to you about something that's a little controversial.
Uh-oh. We're going to be talking about ketchup versus mayo?
Yeah, no. It's a little controversial, though.
Okay.
Also, mayo all the way. Screw ketchup.
What?
I hate tomatoes.
I hate tomatoes, too. What salsa, though? I like ketchup, though.
There's not tomatoes in salsa.
Do you not eat ketchup?
It's fine.
Do you not eat ketchup?
I don't go out of my way to get ketchup ever. Like, if I get a burger and, like, if I go to, like, Taco Bell, not Taco Bell, if I go to, McDonald's and order a burger and there's ketchup on it, like, I'm not going to take it off or order without ketchup. But, like, I'm also not going to make a burger and put ketchup on it almost ever.
Huh. I'm hot not dogs, no ketchup?
Occasionally. Here's the thing. Jewish wieners?
Yeah.
No ketchup. Regular hot dogs, ketchup.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah, I'm just, like, it's fine. However, burger with mayonnaise, always preferred.
I feel like mayonnaise is, and I don't mean to be offensive to you people out there, but I feel like mayonnaise on a burger is covering up for the fact that your burger's too dry and overdone. Like, I don't have a problem with mayonnaise on a burger, but if it needs to be on that burger, it's because you messed it up.
Yes, because you didn't make a good enough burger.
You committed a cardinal sin and made your burger too done.
I want to preface the fact that I'm looking at my phone because I want to talk about a thing.
I was assuming that, and if it wasn't the case, I would have to
break
phone.
It in half right now. I want to talk to you about an album.
Oh, no.
Hey, Michael, can you name a band that you think's gotten... What band do you think has gotten dunked on more in the past 5 years than any other band?
5 years?
Yeah.
Imagine Dragons.
The past 10 years.
Crap. 10 years?
Yeah, past 10 years. Actually, no, 5 years. Because 10 years ago, I would say this band wasn't getting dunked on.
Is it Fall Out Boy?
No. It's a little band, you might have heard of them, called Nickelback.
Nickelback? Here's the thing.
No, Michael, here's the thing. I want to talk to you about specifically an album called All the Right Reasons by Nickelback. And you want to know what my hot take on this album is?
What?
I think All the Right Reasons kind of rules.
Is that the old one?
It is. So here's what's on this album. We got Next Contestant. I think the song's very catchy.
Okay.
Animals. Bad song. In theme, also catchy, though. Son of a Bullet. Someone That You're With, if everyone cared, Far Away, Saving Me, Photograph, Fight for All the Right or All the Wrong Reasons, Follow You Home, Rockstar.
So this is their seminal album.
This is the seminal album.
Yeah.
I think this album kinda owns.
Let me tell you the thing, is that we love to dunk, not me, because I'm not a sheep. Love to dunk on Nickelback. And I think that the thing we don't realize is nobody makes fun of things that nobody like, right? If like a fart band releases a fart album and three people hear it, it doesn't get made fun of because no one knows about it. People like to hate on Nickelback because they were freaking huge for a minute. Like, it's like one of those, I feel like it's one of those, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain. Clearly, if you've ever heard of Nickelback's like most recent album, it's not good. It's not very good. But I think you're right, though.
I did this thing where I was like, it'll be funny to rate Nickelback. I was like, it'll be an easy dunk session for us to dunk on Nickelback.
Uh-huh.
And then I turned on For All the Right Reasons.
Uh-huh.
And I went, hold on.
Hold on, this might be good. Because the problem is,
I think this album's good. And then I tried to listen to the album that came after that, and I said, this is bad. I cannot listen to this.
Because they're not the best musicians, but they did make some good music.
They made some good music. I think also, if I had to pick out a problem with Nickelback, it would be, what's the dude's name?
Which one?
Mr. Nickelback.
It's not Scott Stapp, that's Creed.
Creed sucks, though.
Creed
does suck.
I
can't think of it.
Okay, keep going. Mr. Nickelback himself.
I think Mr. Nickelback's voice is what most people make fun of.
Sure.
Here's the thing. At least with this album, and even some of the songs from the other album, the riffs were fine. It was like, it was exactly what you would expect from like that.
Yes.
And the words were often very catchy. Like,
yeah.
Considering they were
big because they were semi-relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, like, all very catchy. It was all, like, very... It is dude's very weird forced southern rock charm.
That was the problem with the whole scene. And looking back at it, we have a lot of perspective. Because, like, okay, yeah, Creed is what it was.
Third Day.
Which,
I mean, they're not big in the scene, but also does the same thing.
Also, that guy sounds like that when he talks.
I didn't think he did.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Like a Third Day guy does. I don't know about that.
Fair enough. I mean, for sure, dude from Nickelback doesn't. Watch the interview.
It's crazy because I think when we think about how bad that stuff was. Yeah, okay. It's also easy to make fun of some of the lyrics because of how his voice sounds.
Yes.
It's that whole scene got its bad name. And Nickelback, the prominent feature of that scene, I think gets a badder rap than it necessarily deserves because of the vocal inflections that are just injected purely into those songs. If we're getting real about it, go back and think about Nickelback. And yeah, it's easy to make fun of. I'm never going to make fun of people for making fun of people with an easy dunk, like especially celebrities like that.
Especially, like, here's the thing.
I'm not going to cry and tell you to leave Britney alone.
We're funny. Some people aren't as funny as us, and
they need a low-hanging fruit. And yeah, it's easy to make fun of Nickelback. But, like, we talked about this at our last family reunion, which, let me tell you, is with a bunch of rednecks. So, sure, this take is not very hot. It's not very spicy. But it came up. Nickelback came up. And I'm like, you know what? Not as bad as people say. And that was the accepted thing. They were like, no, they're not amazing.
No,
But they made some good song and they're not that bad.
Like, here's the thing. Rockstar, dude. Rockstar is a banger.
I once tried to make a playlist, and I was intentionally trying to make a playlist of all the worst songs.
All the worst.
And it made me sad to try to focus on negativity, so I literally had three songs on it, and I don't remember what the other two were. No, I remember what one of them was. The song Sneaker Night by Vanessa Hudgens is one of the worst songs that's ever been produced and released.
Never heard
it. But the song Photograph was on there. Because it was a song I like to make fun of. And I accidentally listened to this playlist so much while I was trying to like formulate the playlist that I fell in love with the song Photograph, and it makes me feel things every time I hear it now.
Also, if it wasn't a Photograph, we would not have the vine of Look at This Graph, which is money. Yeah. First of all, Look at This Graph, very funny.
Look at This Graph is a great meme. And also, Photograph is a good song that makes me feel things.
Photograph is a good song.
It makes me feel something. Nickelback makes me feel something with one of their songs. And I actually genuinely will say I like that song now. And it makes me a little ashamed to admit on the internet, but also not, because it's a funny show.
If you had 10. Photograph's the 10. Transcendent, because whether Michael is 28 or 48, Photograph will make him cry. If you had to put a name on the genre, what would you name it? Because I have a name I thought of.
It's weird, because I think people call it Southern Rock, but it's not really appropriate.
I would call it Bad Boy Rock, because listen to like, what they're singing about, and like it feels grody.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem with calling it Bad Boy Rock. It was like pop music at the time. So like it's like the sellout version of Bad Boy. Like it's like every pop, it's the sellout version of what it is.
Yes.
So like, yeah, you could call it Bad Boy Rock, but it's like I'm gonna say this just a little bit, and I'm gonna have to say it very quietly.
So YouTube doesn't get us.
It's kind of like Chad Michael Murray's character in Freaky Friday version of Bad Boy Rock, where he's really not a bad boy, but he is the bad boy.
But he looks like he's supposed to be a stand-in. He wears a leather jacket
and he drives a motorcycle. He's a stand-in.
What?
He's a stand-in for Bad Boy. It's kind of like Nickelback was like that.
Also, we have to also just say this, Chad. We love you.
That's his name. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't. But we want to make sure.
Chad Kroeger.
Oh, Chad Kroeger.
That's his name.
I was talking about Chad Michael Murray.
Oh, his name is Chad Kroeger.
I think, here's what I think, first of all. I have a quick theory we need to talk about.
Have you ever seen them?
Do all Chads rule?
Have you ever seen?
Is every Chad ever kind of just actually dope?
It would be so funny, but I don't think you realize that Chad is also a meme name for like people that are stupid.
Apparently a meme name for like
a meme name.
Name for bad boys also apparently is Kyle, because I showed Karsten, who's much more plugged into memes than I am, the Gus Johnson video of him pretending to be the tough kid in the playground. And he goes, he's just a Kyle. And I was like, take it.
I think Chads are people that are old that are still virgins, I think is the name. I think that's what it is.
So yeah, dude, all Chads freaking rule is what you're saying. All Chads. I don't have a problem with my statement.
Chad Kroeger, Chad Michael Murray, all rock.
All rock, dude. There's like only, there's very few Chads. But
they
kiss
dating goodbye, dude. Rip.
They took the love dare.
Oh man. What were we rating here? Oh, Nickelback's album.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't know the whole album. So I want to hear what you proposition, and I'll give you a higher or lower or a stamp of approval.
I want to say 8.
I feel comfortable probably agreeing with that, just knowing the hits, because I know all the singles from it, and those are all good.
They're all good.
And I'm guessing that it's like that.
Yeah. It's like...
And like, dude, you know what?
When I was listening to it, I didn't expect there to... Like, I listened to this album like 3 times at work. Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday... So you know like... the idea of like earworms and like mm-hmm. the reason songs get stuck in your head is because like
you want to know the words more. Mm-hmm.
I listened to it 2 more times on Friday
mm-hmm.
because like there were multiple songs from the album that were stuck in my head, and I was like, maybe Nickelback's like actually fairly clever in the sense of like really catchy music.
Mm-hmm.
When I listened to it, the last thing I expected to do, like I was like thinking, one, we could either dunk on it, or two, we could do this joke where I found, like, fake appreciation for it in some way. So I was, like, mm-hmm. sitting there thinking, and I was like, I do think, like, these are just really catchy lyrics.
You accidentally, ironically, or unironically liked the album.
Yeah.
Which, and, like, here's the thing, and I'm like, listen,
We all just want to be big rock stars.
I don't think anyone listens to this podcast that cares about what I say in my quote unquote professional music review scene. But like, let's just freaking get real here. Nostalgia has something to do with how you appreciate an album. And when I listen to some of the Nickelback stuff or other stuff from that era, that was my teen years. So like, even if it is a little corny, I appreciate the corniness more now than I might have then, because there's a nostalgic factor for that style of music, because they don't make that style of music on the radio anymore. It's there.
I like corny stuff. First of all, I just like, as I generally like corny things. Also, though, I have zero nostalgia for the song Photograph, and Photograph's kind of just a good song.
Yeah, I poop on nostalgia a lot publicly, because okay, I have to do it to save my face.
Well, yeah, because you want to critically review things sometimes, you have to be like, nostalgia sucks, and if you like an album because of nostalgia, it doesn't make it a good
album.
Also,
I think 80s nostalgia sucks. I think that it's so overdone, well, and it sucks so bad.
I think it's funny that, I'm not going to dunk on our sister, but our sister... was a little bit upset at you for some of the things that you, when you said that you didn't like, what's that movie?
What was it about?
About the girl who gets space powers and then...
Oh, Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Yeah. She was a little bit upset at you about Captain Marvel, your review on Captain Marvel, and I said, Michael's biggest problem that I've heard, the thing I've heard Michael complain about Captain Marvel more than anything else is it claims to have 90s nostalgia and does a bad job at it. And that frustrates
him. It does like a couple things with 90s nostalgia. We're like, hey, let's just show you a couple pictures of things and like kind of badly use 90s music. And also...
And the I'll Nine Inch Nails shirt.
I'll state it again. She's wearing a modern Nine Inch Nails shirt, and she's wearing modern. Oh my word!
She isn't wearing JNCOs.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, Michael's biggest problem with that movie was they did a bad job representing the 90s.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. I wasn't even alive during the 90s, really. I mean, I was alive for 10 years of the 90s, all of it, I guess. But I don't know, dude. Whatever, dude. There's no Weezer in the movie. That was my main problem. If it had Weezer in it, it would be a 10 out of 10. And it doesn't.
Can you imagine in the fight scene where they play I'm Just a Girl, what if it was just Pink Triangle?
No, they play, that would be good. They play,
No One Else.
No, is that the one? Yeah, that was it. No One Else.
I want a girl who will laugh for no one else.
They play, it would be a very different, perspective on the scene.
You know, Nickelback's album, One Again, came out in 2005 called All the Right Reasons.
I'll listen to it again, dude.
8 out of 10.
I'm fine with that.
Also, How You Remind Me, not on that album, also a good song, though.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, I've been wrong, to the bottom of every bottle.
You still like that song?
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that song or not.
It's a good song.
I don't know if I can get behind that one. But real quick, I do have to show you. Oh, I don't have my phone because it's recording it. That Vanessa Hudgens song is one of the worst recorded.
We'll listen to it.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. We've talked, as I mentioned before, if a fart song comes out and three people hear the fart song, it may be the actual worst song, but nobody heard it.
Yeah, it's like when you're doing Game of the Year stuff, there's so much steam garbage that comes out every year.
Yes.
You're like, obviously, when we're doing like the worst game of the year or something, we're not considering the piles and piles of actual literal garbage. It is the worst actual game.
The thing about this Vanessa Hudgens track is that it was a Radio Disney single that did a lot of traction on that scene, those circles. Like, yeah, it didn't extend to the greater circle that much because the song sucked so much. It was like, the song is called Sneaker Night, and it's about how she's putting on her sneakers on to go out and party with her friends or whatever. But the chorus is... Basically, what we're going to do is dance. Basically, what we're going to do is dance. Basically, what we're going to do is dance. Yeah, that's right. It's sneaker night. That's
the chorus. My life is in the club. Give me $20. My life is in the club.
At least that's funny. Like, there's so many other hooks that you can say they're stupid.
I know this isn't the episode where we talk about rapper flex lines, but the flex line of, yo, I live in clubs, give me money, is very good.
Sneaker Night is a 1 out of 10. The world would be better off without. I'm sorry, Vanessa.
Your life would be better for not having heard that song.
Sorry, Vanessa. You
still rocking Band Slam.
I don't know if I want to say this or not. This is kind of mean. How much do we want to be like legitimately mean? You know what?
Here's my
boys,
rule.
Support boys. I'm doing this as constructive criticism. Do you know who has a new YouTube channel?
I do know somebody whose YouTube channel I can make fun of, but they're not big enough to us to
I'm
do
talking
that.
About someone way bigger than us.
Okay. No.
Does the name Christy Carlson Romano mean anything to you?
Yes.
She has a new YouTube channel.
Well, we already talked about Freaky Friday, my dude.
And Christy Carlson Romano has this YouTube channel, which is...
I have a question.
I think it's just called her name.
I have a question. Is it about how freaking messed up her dietary tract is after all the Activia?
Does she do that now?
Dang it, dude.
I've never seen her on that.
I was hoping we could... No, she did an Activia commercials, which is the poop yogurt.
No.
It's the high-fiber yogurt that you eat to help you give you the poops and regulate your bowels. And she was the spokesperson for that. And I was like, oh, me and Michael are going to do this great poop jokes about Christy Carlson Romano doing all the poops.
I'm sorry. This is a little bit real and also a little bit jokey, right?
I am wrong. I was not thinking about Christy Carlson Romano.
Who are you thinking of?
Jamie Lee Curtis. I now know who Christy Carlson Romano is.
See, also, I think I saw a similar to Activia commercial with Jennifer Garner, which kind of eats into some of your other...
Heck yeah, dude.
Christy Carlson Romano's Ray, Stevens, the older Stevens' daughter.
Yes, okay. I do know
What's her name?
Is.
Dang it.
Ren.
Ren Stevens, not Ray
I
Stevens.
I knew who that was, but I was picturing, for some reason...
Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, in Christy my head, Carlson Romano. You said Christy Carlson Romano, and I thought Ren, but in my head, Ren was being played by Jamie Lee Curtis.
So my very good friend Andrew Drewby sent me a video, which I didn't know her channel existed. It only had 4 videos at the time. It still only has 5, I think. And she does a thing. It's called Kitchen Throwback. Now, to you younger people listening to this, this doesn't mean anything. There was a show called Even Stevens that came out when we were kids. It was a great show. Still funny. I tried to watch it recently. Still yeah, there may be funny. Nostalgia. Still pretty funny, right?
Still
so
pretty funny.
In the show, she played a main character. Also, once again, if you're young, you don't know what this is, but the show Kim Possible, she was Kim.
Dude, Shia LaBeouf's funny. I know this kind of takes you off your thing, but I was thinking about Even Stevens. Some of the weird little dumb choices that I, knowing how weird of a boy
he improvised that
is,
show a lot.
Yes, what I'm saying is like, I think Shia LaBeouf is legitimately a very funny boy.
Well, here's the thing. I will get back to Shia LaBeouf because I want him to be on this channel. I want this channel to succeed is what I'm saying. I'm not trying to say this to be negative. But it is one of the most cringy things on accident, I think, that I've ever seen. Because the whole nature of the channel is she does a throwback thing where she cook. It's a cooking channel. So, of course, my thing. I love cooking shows.
You do.
She cooks a recipe with someone intentionally nostalgia focused. So there's like 5 episodes. The first episode that I ever saw was her and heck
the
darn
other
it.
Famous people she cooks with.
Yeah, well, like people from nostalgia. So the first
the
episode I ever saw,
Guy Fieri from Smash Mouth.
No,
not cooking people.
No,
Raven Simone.
No, it was dang it, Corey's older brother. From, oh my
Corey
word.
In the house?
No. The show you like, Boy Meets World, Corey's older brother.
Oh, Fred Savage.
Yeah, no, not Fred Savage. His older brother.
Fred's the older one.
No. In Vince? The show.
Oh, Eric Matthews.
Will Friedle or whatever his name is. Yes, him. It was him and her. So, AKA, if you've seen Kim Possible, Ron and Kim.
Heck yeah. You should have just said Ron, idiot.
I couldn't remember. Yes, Ron and Kim. Right?
Well, I mean,
and
you did say the character name, and I still said his real-life brother's name.
So they're making nachos, right?
Heck yeah, dude.
And I'm
Which
like, okay.
Just nacho tacos.
And I'm like, dude, I'm going to freaking click that video because I'm 28 years old. Of course I will. I'm going to click the video of Ron and Kim making a nacho. I'm not too low to admit it, right? So I clicked the video. Dude, it's freaking cringe. For one, those guys are both older than you think they are.
How do they play? No, I know exactly how old he is. I watch interviews with him. He does voice acting.
Yes, I know. And he talks about it. Yeah. And they're both in the new Big Hero 6 show together. Anyway, so they're both a little older. Aww. That's not the problem. The problem is that it's edited to try to be like what they think YouTubers are like. And so it's really, really cringe with lots of weird edits. And like, I don't know. But at one point, they open some still in package sealed Ron and Kim dolls, and they're trying. Somebody wrote in and had them like make them kiss to recreate the final scene in the Kim Possible show where they finally kiss. So they're like holding these.
Hey, Michael, should we react to these videos?
I don't know, dude. No, because I don't want to just dunk on them. But frick, dude, it's hard. It's so hard to watch. There's some unbearable moments at some points of this show. And of course, cooking takes a backseat, which I'm fine with. But dude, it's so, so awkward at points. And I don't want it to be. And like, she does an episode with the kid from Lizzie McGuire, the little kid.
Gordo?
Nope.
Matt.
Sorry. Matt.
Matt is the name of the show. I don't know his real name.
She does. I think I've seen them all at this point. She does another one. And then most recently, she did a video that was a lot less bad. Because what they do is they don't focus on... I don't want to ruin it. But they do one that's less... it's Even Stevens focused. And it's not as corny. They kind of flip it up.
Is it with Donnie?
No, it's with a Ruby.
Okay.
And it's not as bad. And I don't want to ruin the thing.
What the frick is Ruby up to these days?
I think just probably being a person. Just a regular person.
It's like the Sprouse that's not super famous for being in Riverdale was caught being a barista. And everybody was trying to make fun of him. And he was like, no, I'm just a barista.
No, dude, heck yeah, dude. That guy's got a real life now. Anyway.
He also acts in like weird indie stuff. But yeah.
They need to let somebody that's like... They either need to let a young person who actually understands the things edit it.
Here's what they need.
Or they need to just treat it like a show for people my age.
What they need to do is we need to send this to Gus and Eddie. And much like how they fixed the Chris Hansen channel, they need to do a constructive criticism video.
And they need to send some stuff over Christie's way. Because listen, I want this to succeed. This is obviously for me. It's both a cooking show
And a nostalgia-focused
show for my age. I want it to be good, but dude, it's rough at points. They either need to let a young person edit it so it feels younger, or let an old person edit it and just treat it like it's like. Or they find the editor from the Disney Channel in 2003 and just make it like the Disney Channel in 2003 with all of the music
and all the fun wipes
and all of the weird wipes and then the little mouse wand thing.
Yeah. I really like the, they need to do the Lizzie McGuire transition stuff where they have a cartoon version of her come out and talk directly to the camera and then cut to a different scene.
That would be cool. See, something, I don't know, something that does, yeah, something like that. So I'm going to give it a optimistic 6, we'll say, for now. Unless they just can't get their crap together and it gets bad. Oh, they had an episode with Mara Wilson, who's Matilda.
I've only seen Matilda one time.
Okay, yeah, it's older than you. So, anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest. That wasn't even planned.
Is that not what you wanted to rate?
Well, I didn't bring anything to rate this week.
You dummy.
That's why I talked about vacation in that channel.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah, basically when we made the plans to record this episode, I was like, heck yeah, we'll do that. And then, like, we scheduled a time today, and I kid you not. At one point, we were recording this episode, and we were doing the intro, and I stared into this camera, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to have a thing, huh?
Well, here's the thing, is we made a plan, and I was like, okay, cool, and instantly fell asleep. And then woke up, and I was like, oh, crap, it's like time to leave.
So,
what Black I was going to say... well-oiled machine.
Real quick, I just want to say this. My house's air conditioner cannot keep up with this heat. As much as I want to make summer great again, the heat index is 111 in Nebraska. Please come save us. Will somebody say... that's the same genre as Nickelback, right?
Yeah.
The theme song from Smallville?
Smallville?
Man, 10-second Smallville. What do you think?
Smallville is...
the show you wish you could like the most. 10 seconds.
Good. It's better than you think it is, and worse than people who remember it act like it is.
Seems like a fair take.
Yes. So, like, people who hear about Smallville now is significantly better than when they think about what Smallville is. However, if you listen to people who loved Smallville when it was on,
it's not as good.
It's not as good as they act like.
Like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And to end the episode off with that sick dab, do you have a bad joke to end the show off with?
Do I ever? Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
How did Reese eat her ice cream?
How?
Witherspoon.
Oh, son of a. I was trying to think about why you would use the name Reese, and I was like way behind.
And right. You were like, "Oh, Malcolm in the Middle joke."
Dude, I don't even have to edit anything on this episode.